My name is going to open the doors for you. Because when you've got my name and you move it, my name will break limitations off of your life and establish you. For surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good morning, Glory Peace Church. Welcome back this morning. Hallelujah. How are we all doing this morning? God is great. God is faithful. We are blessed and highly favored, and we are blessed to be in His presence this morning. Father, we worship You. We thank You, Lord, that You are already here. Hallelujah. Thank You, God, for Your goodness. Hallelujah. 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 We've come to meet with You, Father God. We've come to meet with You. You say, I, Lord, have come to meet with You this morning. Father, I've come to worship You. I've come to honor You, Father. I've come to thank You for Your goodness. Hallelujah. Just open up your mouth and thank Him for His goodness. You are great. You are faithful, Father God. You've always been good, Lord. You are even good right now, Father God. No matter what we see, no matter what we hear, Father God. We worship Your name, Father God. We worship Your name, Father in heaven. Let Your glory fill this place, O Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We worship You, Jesus. We worship You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we're here to meet with You, Lord. We are here to meet with You. Oh. Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship You, Jesus. Oh, I praise Your name. Oh, I praise Your name. Hallelujah. Oh, let our praise be Your welcome. Songs be inside. We are here for You. We are here for You. Let Your breath come from heaven. Yes, let Your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with Your life. Lord, we are here for You. We are here for You. To You. Oh, You alone. praise you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you call us friends. Oh, we worship you, Lord.
Here.
That you hear me.
When I to renewal.
Refreshment. New beginning.
renewal.
The Lord. Praise God. He reigns forever. Well, let's give a big clap offering to the Lord on behalf of all our children, the teachers. Praise the Lord. All right, let's continue with the service. Time is much gone. Start praying for the children. Let's rise. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, God day, everybody. We were in Toronto last Sunday, so 2.5 years we did not see them. So praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Even the people in our hotel were so happy to see us because we stay in the same place all the time. They say, oh my goodness, it's like every month we used to be there, but 2.5 years we packed here with you. So praise the Lord. So enjoy it while you have it. Praise the Lord. All right, let us pray. Father, we thank you for all our beautiful children and all our teachers. We lift all our biological children, our spiritual children, our partners all over the world, and all those from age 120 plus to zero form, those in seed form, those walking on the earth. Every decade of life, we commit everyone into your hands. Father, we belong to you. You are our heavenly Father, and we are your children. You love your children with an everlasting love. So we thank you for this everlasting love. We continue to guide, nourish, and strengthen every one of them. Strengthen all our children. Those that are sick, we declare them, be healed, be restored, be made whole. Those that are struggling with schoolwork, we speak now that the wisdom of God will come upon them and the ability to learn and to understand and to recall and to retain and to excel will come upon them in the mighty name of Jesus. We declare scholarship over all our children. We declare that they will excel in life. Those that are struggling with their personal life, behind the scene, marriages, children, parents, whatever the issue is, the secret things that they are dealing with. Father, you are the God who answers in secret, meet them in the name of Jesus. Set your people free. Bring peace and harmony to our church family, those in Toronto here and those hearing the sound of my voice. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare so done. Amen. Well, God bless you. See you later. You all did so good. Praise the Lord. Father, I ask now for the Spirit of the Lord to fill this house. You were here before we came. Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. For the words you speak, they are spirit and life. We receive you into our heart. We welcome you into the service, into our homes, our city, our nation, and our government. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. We're going to read the word of the Lord. When you get home, I'd like you to read Psalm 91. I'm not reading that right now, so I'm going to read Proverbs 5. I won't read all of it. I'm going to do a little part of it. All right, let us. It's going to be a few verses, so you need to. This I read this to them in Toronto, so I figure you should also enjoy it. Proverbs 5. My son, you can read along with me. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you hear what we are going to read this morning and you apply it to your life, It will help you all the days of your life. My son, my daughter is all the same. The Bible says we are called the sons of God. So praise the Lord. In heaven, there's not going to be male or female. We're all going to be sons of God. Say praise the Lord. That's why there's no marriage in heaven. Only you'll be married to only one person, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So some people are so, they go, oh, he didn't say my daughter, where you are included. So we are sons of God. Amen. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. The most important thing for you in this world is to hear the word of the Lord. Say amen. He say attend to it. Don't just hear it. Make sure it's real in your personal life. Say amen. Attend to what? My wisdom. And bow your ear to my understanding. So you need those things. Amen. Say regard discretion. Some people, you know, they don't know how to keep discretion. You tell them something, you might as well tell the whole world. They have no discretion. Their lips are itchy. You know, back home we say you have an itchy lip like okra. You know, how many of you know what okra is? It's a vegetable. You know, when you eat the raw one, it makes your lip itchy. So you need to cook it a little bit so it's not itchy. But it's very healthy for you. So it's one of those superfoods. Most of you have eaten it. You don't just know. If you've taken Campbell soup, there's okra in it. They use it to thicken it. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. So don't have discretion. When you are told something, if God tells you something or somebody confide in you or things that are happening in your home, don't be if you wanted to be a BBC News or NBC News or CBC News, God would have made your mouth that. They do that. So you need to have discretion. Say discretion. It's a good thing. So that means you become a trustworthy person. The more you talk, the devil cannot read your mind. He only reads what you tell him. So if you don't have mouth control, you give him a lot of assignment to do on your behalf. Somebody say, Lord, have mercy on me. Now, there's a place to talk. You can't keep secret 100%. You need to be able to say things. If things are bothering you, you have the ears of the Lord. You can talk to him anytime. Amen? He's not there to condemn you. He's there to set you free. Verse 3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. See, if you are a talkative and you talk too much, you know, and you can't keep discretion, you are going to fall into this strange woman category. May God set us free. Say amen. Say, her mouth is so sweet. By the time she finished telling her story, you will think, oh my goodness, smoother than oil. Verse 4, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. May you not have a talkative mouth. Because they say your end is going to be what? Bitter as wormwood. You're going to be like a cursed person. And your mouth will be sharper, cutting down everything that you need to build up. May God set us free. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Verse 5, her feet go down to death. Her steps take a hold on hell. So you see this type of people, stay away and run for your life. Yeah, only few people on this, I said amen. I'll give you another opportunity. If you see this type of people, do what? Run for your life, because you're going to go down with him. Something's going to happen to you that is very precious in your life. You're going to lose it. So pay attention. Verse 6. Lest thou should ponder the path of life, her ways are movable that thou cannot know them. So this person is very unstable and they move every year. You cannot. So if you say, I understand them, I know them, it's a lie. The word of God says you don't know them. They are more deeper and more cunning than the children of the devil. So be free. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. And have mercy on my household. So if you have that type of person in your family, you need to pray for the person because you can't run from your family. Say amen. Verse 7, hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. What did he say you should do? Hear and do not depart. Verse 8, remove thy way far from her. How did I say? I said run for your life. Is that in the word of God? This is God speaking. Say, run for your life. Far, remove thy way. Only you can make the decision to get out of there. And come not nigh the door of her house. Oh, my goodness. So in terms of having coffee, fellowship, cake, and eating, and phone calls, run for your life. Say amen. If you have a wife that is a gossip or a husband that is a gossip, you just say, Lord Jesus, have mercy and set them free. Because that's access for the devil to come and be your partner in your home. May God have mercy on us. Say a big amen. And today's world, in the world of social media, there is no more discretion. Everything is put out there. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. You better be serious with your prayer. Say amen. Verse 9, I'm going to do up to verse 11. The rest you can finish on your own. Lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the crow. You see, this is going to be the consequence of you playing around with that. Your honor will be gone. It will be taken from you and put on others. You will live a cruel life. Not one day, not one week, years of it. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. You know, gossip is very sweet. That's what the Bible says. When the smooth, I call it smooth operator, when the lip oil where grief's lip is speaking, it's so sweet. It says it's full of honeycomb, but not the kind you want to eat. You know, it's poisonous honey. and it says, your honor, the honor God has put on your life, will be taken and given to others. You will see others living the life you want to live, and yet you are not living it. May God have mercy on you. May God have mercy on me. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Deliver us from this evil. Say a big amen. So this is the other consequence. We continue 10. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. Can you imagine? Your wealth is transferred. We say the wealth of the wicked will be transferred to us, but the wicked, other people will begin to enjoy what belongs to you. May what belongs to you stay with you. In the name of Jesus. So when the word of the Lord tells us to do something, it's for my benefit. Say, it's for my benefit. Say, it's for my benefit. So lose those friends and drop them like a hot potato from the stove. Fast. Say, drop it. Tell yourself, drop it. You're speaking to yourself now. Say, drop it. And then if somebody's in your house doing that, don't fight with them, just pray. Take authority. You say you shall take authority over every deadly thing and it shall not hurt you. So if their mouth is deadly, you can take authority. Say amen. Say amen. Somebody say, I collect my wealth back. Yes, that's why you see families, they can have wealth and then the wealth will fly away. Somebody has been yapping somewhere. We shut every yapping mouth. In the name of Jesus, your labor will not be in vain. Your labor will not go to another person's house. Your glory and your honor will not go to another. You will not live a cruel life. Verse 11, yes, another consequence. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. So it brings total destruction. You mean the time you sat down there to listen to that rubbish? This is the benefit. This is what you're carrying home. You're carrying a whole package. to you and to your family. So I want everybody to rise, and you're going to use your mouth. There's nobody who has not listened to gossip. It's always sweet when we hear it. You like to hear the misery of other people and how bad they are doing. May God have mercy on us and restore us back. Restore what he has planned for us. He's a good daddy. He's a good father. So everybody say, Heavenly Father, forgive me of every sin that I knowingly participated in, and the ones that I am not aware of that I participated in. Have mercy on me. Forgive me, Lord. Have mercy on me. Forgive my family. Have mercy on us. Forgive my extended families. Have mercy on them. Forgive my friends. Have mercy on them. But Lord, have mercy on me in the name of Jesus. Let everything that I have lost out of ignorance, things that you have given to me, the honor you have placed in my life, the blessings and wealth that you have placed in my life that have, through ignorance, have sold out, have allowed other people to mess it up. My health, my wealth, my influence, everything, Lord, that I have damaged out of ignorance, out of sin, forgive me now. Are you praying? Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Have mercy, O Lord. Restore me back. Restore my honor back. Restore my wealth back. Restore my health back. Restore my influence back. Restore every good thing that you have given to me and my children and my spouse and my family and my church in Jesus' name, and my business in Jesus' mighty name. Bless my life and make me a blessing. Put a gate and a guard over my mouth, over my lip, over my tongue, in the mighty name of Jesus. Put a gate and a guard over my hearing, in the name of Jesus. Let me attend to your word and follow your ways, your understanding, your wisdom, your knowledge, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. I receive all this goodness. I am totally restored. I'm totally made whole. In Jesus' mighty name. Say a big amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you that you have heard our confession and you have answered us. We thank you for total restoration. And we thank you for testimonies. And we thank you that you are guiding us now. And we will walk in the path of your righteousness and the path you've called us to. Lord, bless the nation of Israel. We speak peace to Jerusalem, peace within her walls and her palaces. Peace, 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 peace. Peace, O God, all over Israel. Peace, because you have made an everlasting covenant with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are a covenant-fulfilling God. We bless your holy name. And out of Father Abraham shall all nations be blessed. We receive that blessing now for Canada, Nigeria, United States of America, Germany, Holland, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lithuania. We bless all those nations. We thank you, God, for all the islands of the seas. And we thank you, God, for all First Nations. Lord, keep your people safe. And let there be revival again in the nations where people will turn back to you. And let every wicked spirit be disarmed and destroyed where someone is calling upon the name of Jesus. Can we call on the name of Jesus? We thank you that you will hear our call and you will visit our land and heal our land and restore us. Heal, restore those that are home, that are sick. We already declare you be healed, be restored, and be made whole. Strength back to your body. In Jesus' name. And those who have financial need, Father, that every need will be met now. Let the poor say, I am rich. We declare that we are rich and we have more than enough to take care of all need. In Jesus' mighty name, be in the service this morning. Bless the word of the Lord. Let it come with power, grace, favor, mercy, truth, healing, deliverance, wholeness, and total restoration and a love for God. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Apostle.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to see you all today. I'm thankful for everyone here present. You took time to leave your homes to be in the house of the Lord today. That God has given us all life, and we elected to use our lives to honor Him. That is a powerful thing, and I thank God for every one of you. Today I want to start discussing a subject that I have captioned the anatomy of radical faith. The anatomy of radical faith. In other words, I want us to reflect on that subject of faith. The faith that brings about change in the lives of people. What are some fundamental things that we can look at and say, okay, that's a direct manifestation, an act, a function that I can attest to that has to do with faith. In essence, faith can be measurable. Actions of faith are measurable. It comes from the depths of the heart. It has to do with your talk, but it's not about every talk. It's about that which your heart is filled with. Contextually, when you break down the discussions of faith and the manifestations of faith, you find many times that the Lord Jesus Christ looks at faith from a very interesting perspective. And that as the Holy Spirit put the Word of God together, He contextually placed it in particular places so that we have an understanding of what faith is all about. And today I want to start exploring it with us so that we understand when we talk about faith what it entails. Matthew chapter 15 gives us a case study. He says in verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Well, interestingly enough, Jesus went then, he left a particular place and went somewhere else. But let's look at what he was talking about before he got to that then. It says in verse 10, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Hear and what? Understand. What two things did he say? Hear and understand. Faith comes by what? Hearing. But when you hear, God wants you to understand. God wants you to do what? Understand. Now, why is understanding so important? The passage of scripture Mama read to us a moment ago in Proverbs chapter 5 talks about three things: wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Those three things are crucial to your success in life. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge. The Word of God tells us that it is through wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we build, establish, and furnish the house. And faith is what you build with. The Bible says, by faith we understand that the worlds were created. Faith creates, but we have to have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The Lord starts out in this particular passage and says, hear and understand something. And he starts out by saying, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. It's not what comes in that defiles you, it's what comes out of you that defiles you. And you say, what does this have to do with faith? What it has to do with faith is this, that every day you and I hear different things. It is what you meditate on that fills your heart. But what you do not meditate on passes through. Watch this. It's important. Because you cannot always control what you hear. But you can control what you meditate on. What you abide with. What you embrace to be part of your system. Because that ultimately is what's going to impact you, positively or negatively. It says, then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Watch this. We're going to build on that statement. It says, don't you know that the Pharisees were offended by this statement that you just made? Second thing you need to understand about faith is that you could care less about who is going to get offended by your faith. Watch this. This is important. If you are a person who is out there just to be a pleaser of people, you will not walk in radical faith. Faith is about you understanding something. And we are about to go through experiences I'm going to show to you in the Word of God in just a moment, in the next little while, how what we're talking about right now operated in particular individuals' lives, how they lived it out. The disciples said, Don't you know the Pharisees are offended by the statement you just made about it's that which comes inside of you that doesn't defile you, but what comes out of you, that's what defiles you? What about that statement should offend anybody? What about the statement, it is not what comes inside of you that defiles you, but what comes out of you that defiles you? What about that statement is going to, you know, offend anybody? Point is this: it does not matter. When faith is about to be operational, people will be offended. It doesn't matter what you say or don't say. If you are looking at their faces, you will not operate in faith. Jeremiah, God says to Jeremiah, don't look at their faces. When you want to walk in faith, there's going to be a lot of stumbling blocks around you. That's why Jesus said, if you have faith small as mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, the mountain, you mountain, move. Mountains don't naturally want to move. But faith says, I don't care what you think about this. I know, I understand, and I have wisdom about this. Jesus defined wisdom as this: the one who comes, hears God's words, and does it. So there's action behind faith. There's action behind faith. It says, don't you know they're offended? But he answered and said, every plant, watch this. Are you ready for this? Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. That is the language of faith. The language of faith says, if it is not from God, it cannot stay. Hello? I don't know if you're hearing yet. If it is not from God, it cannot what? Stay. One more time. If it is not from God, it cannot what? Stay. This sickness is not from God. Therefore, it cannot what? Stay. This poverty is not from God. Therefore, it cannot what? Stay. This problem in my family is not from God. Therefore, it cannot stay. Faith says, if you didn't come from God, you cannot say you're not my portion. You are not my portion because I can see you. You are not my portion. Glory be to God. Oh, we're gonna fine-tune that statement a little bit in just a moment. Every plant which my Father had not planted shall be rooted up. It shall be removed. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. In other words, faith, the walk of faith, does not waste its time with people that have no clue. We're talking about the anatomy of faith. He says, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. If you are aligning your faith based on what blind people are saying, you're going to end up exactly where they are ending up. They are blind to the truth. They have not received revelation to the truth. But too many times, we live our lives based on what blind people are saying. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm saying that blind people are telling us about how bad the economy is. But seeing people recognize that we have a Father and that he is a God who meets all of our needs according to his riches, not according to the economy of Canada, but according to the economy of the kingdom of God. Is somebody listening? Therefore, my life shall not be run by the natural systems of people who see blindly. They see blindly because they do not see from the perspective of God. Are you listening? So when you walk in the walk of faith, your decisions are not based on the natural system. They are based on you hearing the directives of God and following through with the directives of God. That's it. God said, therefore I do. Hear and understand. Now, when you understand the principles of mathematics, it doesn't matter how many which way they twist the letters, whether they put an X and a Y and a Z and whatever it is, because you understand, you are not misled. Let me give you an example. 2 + 2 = what? 4. 2 × 2 = what? 4. If you understand the principles of addition and multiplication, you will not make this mistake. 2 + 3 = what? 5. 2 × 3 = what? 5. No, 2 + 2 = what? 4. 2 × 2 = 4. Then it got to be that 2 + 3 = 5 has to be the same thing as 2 × 3 = 5. No? Okay. You know why you refused my answer? Because you understood the principle of addition and multiplication. Now, 2 − 2 = what? 0. 2 / 2 has got to be what? 0. No? Oh, okay. You know why? You understood. Because there's a dash. Does the division mark also have a dash? But that's 2 dots on top of it. Does the addition sign twisted sideways, is that not multiplication? Doesn't look like the same sign? But you understood. Therefore, you are not deceived. Now, if you don't understand, you make certain inferences, implications based on whatever it is that you know if you don't understand. You got to understand what is happening to get the results that you need to get in life. That means you have to watch out for the principles that have to apply to a particular situation. The word of God goes on. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Don't you have understanding? I've been with you all this while and you still don't get it? Point. People can be around you and still not get it. Hello? Do not ye yet understand? Do not ye yet understand? Meaning, you should have understood this already by now. But you still don't understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drouth. But those things which proceed out of your mouth, those things that proceed out of your mouth, come forth from the heart. and it defiled the man. What's coming out of your mouth is going to defile the man. Now watch this. This is important. In just a moment, we're going to begin to go down this pathway much more clearly. And they defile the man. For out of their heart, proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. And where did they come from? From the heart. And the word of God says, out of the abundance of their heart, the mouth is going to do what? Speak. If you believe in your heart and say, and do not doubt, but say with your mouth, to this mountain be thou removed, it will be removed. The language of faith comes from the heart. So also the language of disaster. It is what you are storing in your heart. And that which you are storing in your heart are those things that you are meditating on. You cannot spend your time meditating on the wrong things and produce the right thing. Jesus, our Lord, said, either make the tree good or make it corrupt. When we're talking about faith, we're talking about surgically picking out the right things and meditating on it. What is the right thing? The right thing is the Word of God. The Word of God. Many times what we meditate on are the words of men. God wants you to meditate on His Word. If a man speaks the Word of God, good, meditate on that. But anything outside the Word of God is something that has the potential of corrupting your heart. So learn how to toss that out to the drought. Learn from it. Toss it to the drought. Separate it. But those things that are of utmost importance, embrace deep within you. Because these are the things that are going to build you up as a person. Ultimately make you a great person. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. In other words, our emphasis many times is what we eat. He says, and you got to wash your hands. And of course, God wants you to wash your hands. That's not the point. He's saying, but you're putting the emphasis on stuff that really don't matter, don't have eternal consequence. Spend your time on what's important. You know, many fights that we have are based on things that ultimately really don't matter that much, even though they matter. How many marriages have fallen apart because of things that really ultimately didn't really ultimately matter? But we spend so much time and priority on those things. And Jesus is saying, if you want to walk in the language of faith, set your priorities right. And in just a moment, it's going to start to unfold to us. Watch this. Then Jesus, after he had had that, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Now, these are Phoenician cities. These are not Jewish cities. Take note of that. Because in just a moment, Jesus is going to make a statement that he sent to the lost house of Israel. He is in Gentile land. And watch this. Watch this, because now we are going to see how the language of faith, the walk of faith, breaks down in real terms. He departs and goes to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan. This is not a Jewish woman now, it's a woman of Canaan. Came out of the same coast. The same coast of Tyre and Sidon. And cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. What? Jesus has not been in this area before. But here's a woman who's making very spiritual declarations. Strange. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. How did she know this? What does this have to do with faith? Oh, a whole lot. Because many times, faith is not where you think. And faith, many times, is not operational in the lives of people that you think it should be operational in. The language of faith, and Jesus is going to place the statement of discrimination in here, but the language of faith has no discrimination. You just listen. When I say it does not discriminate, it means that it gives access to everybody. Faith gives access to what? Everybody. The father of faith was Abraham. Before he was Jewish, he was a pagan, a Gentile. Hello? Faith is captured by anyone who is desperate enough and refuses to tolerate their particular situation as acceptable. I don't know if you're hearing yet. To move in faith, you've got to come to a point where you say, this state is not acceptable. Two, you must recognize that God is a good God. Yes. There is a God. There is a God. There is a God. And my sense of this God is that he's got to be merciful. He is too big not to be merciful. Are you with me so far? Come along. Because remember what I just said a moment ago. There's no discrimination. Which means you have access. She cries out, have mercy on me. That's the other thing you need to understand here. It's about mercy. Not about rights. It's about mercy. You know what mistake we make? we make the mistake of rights. It is my right because of this. Whatever it is that you've got, God gave to you. And if you did anything right, it was because of God's mercy and God's guidance that brought you out of your ignorance of darkness so that you did the right thing. Stop boasting about all the right things you did. Just trust in the mercy of God. He said, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying no matter how good you are, you're not good enough. Oh God, I gave this. Therefore, I have the right to this. No, you have no right to nothing. You need mercy. Are you hearing? You need mercy. Mercy. Lord, mercy. Not because of anything good that I did. I just need mercy. Because no matter how good I am not good enough to receive anything from you if it were not for your mercy. The language of faith does not dwell on anything else but mercy. Are you with me? Okay. He says, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Watch this now. Are you ready for the breakdown? He says, but he answered her not a word. The woman comes to the Lord and tells the Lord her problem, and he did not answer her a word. Not a word. He ignored her. What? Why would the Lord ignore a woman in need? Because he wants to teach you and I a lesson about faith. He's intentional to flush out a message. He answered her not a word, didn't say anything to her. He's silent. She is experiencing rejection. Wow. Well, Pastor, you just told us about access. Now there's this woman that doesn't have access. Oh, wait. The story is not finished yet. Answered her not a word. So she left Jesus and she goes bugging the disciples. And she's going after the disciples, one after the other. Please talk to him for me. And the disciples come to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, send this woman away. She's bugging us. So she's received rejection from the Lord. Now she's received rejection from the disciples. Does this woman leave? No. The Jesus that did not answer the woman answers the disciples and said, but he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Are you ready for this point? Get this point. If you miss any other thing, don't miss this one. And don't miss the others either, but definitely don't miss this one. Jesus is not in Israel. He is in the coast of the Phoenicians, between Tyre and Sidon, stretch of about 30 or so kilometers between both cities. That's where he is. This woman meets him right there, because that is where she comes from. Are you with me? Are you ready for this point? Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's coming. It's a very simple point. If you have the capacity to think about it, it is because God gave you that capacity. If you have the capacity to believe for something to happen, it is because God gave that capacity to you. Which means, no matter what the actions are, you hold firmly on what it is that you have come to believe. And don't let anybody talk you out of it. God gave you that capacity. He came to your territory. Oh, yeah, yeah. He came to your what? Territory. And he's telling you that he didn't come for you. Why are you in my territory? Why did I have this thought? I just thought this thought that I can be healed from this cancer. This cancer got to go. God, I'm talking to you and you're not hearing me. You're not saying anything. I'm bugging your pastors and your priests and your prophets, and they're busy telling me you're a sinful person. There's sin in your life. Get away from here. Jesus didn't come from you. I'm not listening to any of that. Because I had a thought that there is a God who can heal me. And the reason I have this thought is because you came to my territory. Are you with me? Do get that point. Have it settled. Lord, I have this idea that I can be a millionaire. But everything around me says I'm broke. But Lord, I'm not letting go of the fact that since you said I can be a millionaire, this is where I'm stuck. And one way or the other, this is going to happen. You say, well, Pastor, where did you get all of that from? You're telling me stories. Let's come along. Come along. After Jesus said he didn't come for her, she comes, and what does she do? She worships him. She just prostrates herself and begins to worship him. And she's saying, help me. So you didn't come for me. Still help me. The response of Jesus is very hurtful. Why? Because he's trying to teach us a lesson. That he came for you, even though that is not the plan for right now, you can tap into it right now. He says, woman, it's good that you are worshiping and you're help, you're asking for help. He says, it is not meet, it is not right for me to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Lord, I need my daughter healed and delivered from devils. Jesus says, it is not right, it's not meet for me to give the bread that belongs to the children to dogs. In other words, woman, you don't qualify because you're a dog. That's the biggest insult. Is she going to feel insulted? Because the language of faith does not harbor offenses. If you are going to move in faith and receive results that faith bring about, you cannot harbor offenses. In fact, the Bible says faith worketh by love. Your greatest challenge, hear this, is to get offended when you are ready for your breakthrough. It's one thing for Jesus to be silent. It's one thing for the disciples to say, send her away. It's another thing for the one that you're asking help from to say, you don't qualify because you're a dog. You and your daughter are dogs. Why won't you get offended? Why won't you get really peeved and say, okay, you know what? I'm not here to be insulted by you. I'm not a dog. You're racist. You are racist. Is that not the language we hear so much often nowadays? You're racist because you called me a dog and you called my daughter a dog because we have a need. Forget your help. Just forget it. I'm not here to be insulted by you. In fact, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue you for calling me a dog. You know what she said? The Bible says, and she said, truth. You calling me a dog? A dog I am. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. You calling me a dog? Okay. That's fine. Don't dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table? If the meat, the bread, is the healing of the people, then it doesn't matter whether I eat from the top of the table or eat from the bottom of the table. I'm going to eat. All truth is parallel, my father used to say, my spiritual father. All truth is parallel. If it is true that the bread on the master's table is healing, then the crumbs that fall from the table is also healing. Guess what? If the bread is healing and it's meant for the children of God, what are you and I doing sick? Exactly why have you tolerated sickness and disease and say, well, it's old age? When the word of God says, my youth is renewed like the eagles. What lie have you embraced to be your new truth? This is the way it's supposed to be. Who said that's how it's supposed to be? It's what you tolerate and accept as your normal. That is your normal. This woman says, hey, crumbs fall off the table, the dogs eat it. And the response of Jesus is, no, we are not going to allow any crumbs to fall off the table. Is that what he said? No. The woman said, truth. Then Jesus answered unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Why? It was persistent. It did not allow offenses. It determined that access was available because Jesus came to her turf. If you came into my life, I must get the benefits that are available in you to me. Hallelujah. If you came into my life, then sickness and disease cannot be in my life. If you came into my life, then hopelessness and confusion cannot be part of my life. This is not my portion. This has not been planted by God. Therefore, it must be uprooted. Hallelujah. You came into my territory, and everything that does not belong must be uprooted. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Friday night, we're praying through the Gospel of Luke, the 5th chapter. A passage of scripture talks about how Peter had gone fishing all night, all the night, and caught nothing. And how Jesus stepped into his boat and used his boat as a platform to speak to the masses. When he was done speaking to them, he said to Peter, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. And I began to share with us in our prayer focus that the launching out into the deep was where the miracle was going to happen. Because in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that God's Spirit brooded over the deep. And then God began to call out those things that were hidden in the deep, the land that was hidden in the deep, the trees that were hidden in the deep, the birds that were hidden in the water, the cattle, all the creatures that were hidden in that water, hidden, blocked out. When Jesus said, launch out into the deep, he was saying, we are going to go collect all your stuff back. All that stuff that's been hidden in the deep, we're going to get them back. And so he said, cast your net. And when they cast the net, all the fish that he had been fishing for all night, all the night, showed up. I declare in Jesus' name that God's suddenlies are going to happen in all of our lives, that whatever has been kept away, because Jesus is in this boat, we will get everything from the deep. Hallelujah. 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 He said, woman, I've not seen this kind of faith. You've got great faith. Great faith? From whom? A Gentile woman. And the irony of it is that the Lord Jesus Christ keeps on saying, making statements like this, I've not seen this kind of faith in Israel. In other words, the people that should have it are not using it. May we step away from that place where we're not exercising what God has given to us. This woman did not allow the crowd or the people to shoo her away from her miracle. You know, too many times we hear a no and we accept the no as the no and say, well, I was told no, so no must mean no. Not every time. There are times when you got to camp where they said you cannot be and say, if I don't get rest, you're not going to rest either. In Luke chapter 18, the word of the Lord says, men ought always to pray and not faint. And then the Lord Jesus Christ began to tell the story of a woman who had radical faith. She'd come to a judge and says, you got to avenge me of my adversaries. And the judge didn't care about God, didn't care about man, didn't care about anybody. But the man who did not care about God, didn't care about what people had to say, a woman who was determined, got her to give up. Got him to give up, and he said, if I don't solve this woman's problem, this woman is going to wear me out. I better take care of her issue. The day you and I decide that the status quo that the enemy has put in place is not the status quo for our lives because we refuse to accept it, that's the day God says, I agree with you. And he calls that great faith. We quit too quickly. We give up. Well, that's what the government said. That's what the people said. That's what this said. That's what my bank account says. And all of that is true. We're not denying the realities of all of those issues. But what do you really want? What do you want? What do you want? That is what God is looking at. What do you want? He will say of the woman with the issue of blood, thy faith has made you whole. Your faith. Because that woman decided, hey, I've got to have my breakthrough today. Blind Bartimaeus decided, the crowd could not stop him. They said, shut up. The man cried out even louder. And Jesus stopped. And said, bring him to me. And the Bible says he dumped his outer coat, which was his license to beg. He dumped it. And Jesus said, what do you want? He says, I want to see. Are you desperate enough to get what you want that you will not let God off the hook? Let me say that again. Are you desperate enough to get what you want that you will not let God off the hook? Let me tell you, there are women who have given birth to children without a womb. The womb is gone. They've taken everything out. And they decided they're going to have a baby. And God gave them a baby. There are men who have gotten rid of their capacity to have seed, got married, And all of a sudden, there was a seed. Radical faith places no limits on God. Even when God places the limits. Radical faith takes the limit off of God and says, okay, maybe I don't deserve it, but you are a good God. So I'm going to get what I'm going to get, and you're not going to get off the hook on this one. That's radical faith. This woman decided, my daughter is going to get well. I don't care about any shenanigans that you're coming up with about this. My daughter is going to get well. Because if you go to Timbuktu, there I will be with you. Anywhere you go, I will be there until you solve this problem. This problem's got to be solved. Now that I've located you, because you made me locate you, you are not going anywhere. You get a point?
Yes.
That's what the woman with the issue of blood did. The Bible says she hapt mai. She attached herself to Jesus. Even when her hands were off, she was still attached. And Jesus says, who hapt mai me? Who's stuck on me? God, you're not going anywhere. There's a man called Jacob. He says, hey, now that you are here, we are going to wrestle. You're going to bless me or you're not going anywhere. Now, the angel of the Lord could go anytime. But God is that God who wants to wrestle with you. He wants to know, do you really mean business? Do you really believe that I can and that I will? Yes. But can't you see your circumstance? Your circumstance says you cannot get this. Your circumstance is too late. I don't care what circumstance is. I don't understand that word. What I understand is that I serve a God who can circumvent every situation and give me the answer I want. And here I am. God, bless me. Bless me because of your mercy. Because of your mercy. Lord, I might be saying crazy stuff, but because of your mercy. Your mercy, oh God. Your mercy, oh God. Your mercy, oh God. Your mercy, oh God. Do for me what no man can do for me. A young man is called a bad name. His name was Jabez, which means sorrow, means defeat, means everything negative. He was given this name by the mother because the Bible says she bore him with great pain and great sorrow. But this young man decided, I don't care what they call me. My name shall not reign over my life. My life shall override this bad name. So God, bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. Do for me everything that will contradict all these names that they're calling me. The Bible says, and Jabez called on God, the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my cause, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. The Bible says, and God granted him that which he requested. Ask, and you shall receive. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. Seek, and you're going to find. The word of God is still true today. Ask. A, ask. S, seek. K, knock. And all God is saying is, just ask. Dare to ask. And I'll do exceedingly far beyond that which you dare ask or think. If you can think it, I can do it. And I'll exceed whatever it is that you're asking for. God, I don't see how you're going to do it. I don't have enough time. I don't this. I don't have enough money. I don't have that. If I give myself attention to that, I will do nothing. I'll do nothing. But if I believe that God is God, that He has an assignment for me, it doesn't matter what everybody else says. Like a dog to the bone, take a hold of it and don't let go. Don't let anybody talk you out of what God said. No matter how reasonable, hear that, no matter how reasonable their ideas and their thoughts and their comments are about your situation, when you have heard, be certain that you heard. When you've heard, it is settled. It is settled. Guess what's going to happen at the end of the story? People are going to come and say, I always knew you were going to get it. I always knew. You always knew. You always knew. That's why you were telling me to quit. You always knew. Yeah, they will come and celebrate with you. But while you're going through the process, be certain that they're going to knock you down. They're going to tell you why it is not possible. Why it is not possible for God to bless in the north end. Why it is not possible for God to enlarge your coast. Why it is not possible for God to increase you. Why it is not possible for you to be at the head and not be at the tail. Why it is not possible. Because the reason is, you are not the right color. You are not the right sex. You're not in the right financial bracket. You're not this. And forget. Forget all of that. Forget what they say. And lock in to what God said. And if you did not hear it, the very fact that you thought it meant that he came into your territory. And God, because I am thinking this thought right now, I don't know how this is going to happen, but Lord, I am exactly what you say I am. Because that which I am thinking right now is good. And if it is not bad, if it is not good, you flush it out. That is not from God. That's not my portion. God, you did not plant this in here. It must be uprooted. Did you get it?
Yes.
You sure you got it?
Yes.
All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Rise with me. Lord, we are declaring this day in the name that is above every other name, that those things that do not belong in our lives cannot coexist with us. They cannot participate in our lives. Those things, O God, that you have not planted cannot receive nourishment and nutrition from the soil of our lives. So therefore, this day, in the name of Jesus Christ, we declare that everything that is not of you, in words, thoughts, or actions, be uprooted immediately. And Lord, O God, that they be cast into the sea of forgetfulness. And we declare in the name of Jesus Christ that the capacity to receive from you, to be tenacious, to be driven, Lord, oh God, be established in every area of our lives. For this day we step out, oh God, into the deep, and we declare, oh God, a restoration of everything that has been lost, a restoration of those things that the enemy had stolen, a restoration, oh God, of all of your goodness. This day we pursue, we overtake, and we recover all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Satan, the Lord God Almighty rebukes you. You are not going to take one thing from our lives. For this is holy ground. Hallelujah. This is holy ground. And the holy seed of God is flourishing inside of us. For we are planted in the house of the Lord. And we're flourishing to the glory of the Most High. Blessed be your holy name, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Remove every offense from our lives. Everything that comes into us, let it be those things, oh God, that need to abide so that we can speak life. But those things that do not belong, flush out. Indeed, grant us the grace not to even put it in our mouths. Grant us the grace not to hear those things that do not belong, that we do not waste our time trying to decipher what is right or wrong. But Lord, oh God, let the purity of your word take precedence. Occupy us fully, that there's no room for anything else, because we've been captivated by your love and your mercy. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we decree it so done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Please be seated for a moment. Before we share in communion together and bring our offerings unto the Lord, while I'm talking about this, if you do not have your communion elements, just raise your hand and the ushers will serve you immediately. Just raise your hand if you don't have your communion elements. Okay. All right. Now, I want to share something with you. I've shared it already, but I want to remind you about this because I want you to be ready to respond to this need. On the 15th of September, we're going to be having a mass crusade. From here, we're going to be speaking to anywhere from 15,000 to 30,000 people that are going to gather together in a mass crusade. I'll be speaking through Zoom, on a large screen that is going to be seen by all of these people. So you know that screen is going to be very big. We've been doing ministry crusades and now pastor conferences in the land of Pakistan for the last 2 years. And with each meeting, hundreds of people have come to salvation. Miracles are happening. The blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing. Every month we get a feedback from the miracles that has happened. And the ministry that is helping us go from community to community. We're not, all this time we've not been doing major cities, we've been doing remote communities in Pakistan, places that pastors would not normally go to. And God has been doing great things. Now, that ministry, seeing the results of what we've been doing through the months, have elected to host this mass crusade. They are taking most of the costs to themselves, 38,000 plus for screens, speakers, bussing people into the ground. And all we are going to be doing is providing Bibles, at least 1,000 Bibles, for all of the souls that are going to come to salvation, so that each person has, or each family unit, depending on how things go, will have a Bible. Now, Bibles cost approximately $6 US, which means close to $10,000. That's what we are going to invest, Bibles. And I want to encourage everyone to plan on giving generously for this crusade. The devil knew that we were going to impact this nation of Pakistan during the process of COVID. And when I applied initially to go into Pakistan, because I had been invited, one of my spiritual sons there has a Bible college, and the Bible college had conferred on me a doctorate degree. I was to go there to receive this doctorate degree and do a crusade at the same time. I applied for visa, and for the first time ever, I was denied a visa to a nation. It's never happened. But the devil could not stop us, because 2 weeks prior to the denial of that visa, we had already started ministering in these remote communities. And this is led up to this point. And we've not even done the first crusade. They're already asking for another crusade, but in person. But we're going to start with this one first. So I need for you to join in faith with Mama and I, with the ministry team in Pakistan, and they're going through a lot. They're going through a lot to see all these lives changed. And I'm going to invite you on September the 15th. It will be happening in the evening hours there, but for us, it's going to be in the morning hours. I'm going to invite you. I'm going to give you the exact time. For those of you that can't come to church to be here in prayer and to participate in that crusade, you'll be able to see us ministering to this mass of people. Amen? But we need $10,000. And that means there's some people that are going to give large sums. Some people may give $1,000 towards this end. Some people may give $500. Some people may give $250. But I want everyone to dig deep, to invest in souls. Amen? So I encourage you to do this. Pray about it. But more than pray about it, do something about it. Amen? Those of you that are ready, do know that You're going to do a particular amount. Write it in an envelope and give that to me so I know where our account is at. And those that are going to do that this evening or to next Sunday, you know, but by latest September the 10th, I want to have those resources in my hands so I can send it out to them so that those Bibles can be purchased. Amen? So let's do this together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, come. Honor God with your giving. Those of you that have a promissory commitment, you want to put in my hands so I can have that, you can do so. This for her? Wow. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's in here. I can give it to them. I'll write the amount. Praise the Lord. It's for the Bibles? Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Okay, it's just an envelope. Thank God for those that are already responding in faith. Oh, another one. Praise the Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Oh, wow. Thank you. Oh, wow. Praise the Lord. It's coming.
Praise the Lord. Praise God.
Praise God. Rise with me. I thank God for those that have already started responding. I know the Lord will grant us all that we need. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God, praise God.
Father, we are thankful for radical faith. Radical faith is that which you give to us. We cannot make it happen, but we can align ourselves with it because, Lord, you will carry us. We attach ourselves to your faith, Father. For we live by your faith. Thank you, Lord, for this table of communion. As you take off this body and we eat, let your blessings abound towards us immeasurably. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen. Take off the body and eat.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Can I have this on?
No, you're on.
It's on now. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Please, next time, once you see me start coming, put it on. You can't say I didn't put it on. I did it like 4 times. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. How many of you now have great faith?
Amen.
Somebody say, I have great faith.
I have great faith.
I have a tenacious faith.
I have a tenacious faith.
See, you will always get what you expect. Somebody say, I have expectant faith.
I have expectant faith.
I don't know what you're believing, God, that is not moving. Begin to see that thing move.
In Jesus' name.
See that mountain move.
In Jesus'
Nobody's going to move it for you. You move it. Jesus. See the mountain move. See it done.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
You know, we came to this nation 41 plus years ago. And yesterday, the children took me out for a birthday dinner because we had no time to be together as a family. And there's a family that we now met, the same place. 41 years ago, you know, they were so good to us. And they've been telling their children the story, our story. And two of the children I met when they were little, but there was two more added. Everybody's married now. They're doing great. Praise the Lord. And one of their children have a cabin in where the rich and famous have their cabin. So that's the goodness of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. We all met in the same place. And we just fellowship. And then he was recalling the prophetic word given to him as a family. They had nothing. But today, God has blessed that whole family.
Amen.
I say this word of God that you're hearing here is going to transform your family.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say, me too.
Me too.
We came from Toronto, and two of the children there, one has a governor's award, and another one is on the dean list. So the same declaration we've been doing here is working there. God will do what he says he will do.
Amen.
Somebody expects their miracle.
Amen.
So as you take this today, somebody say, me too.
Me too.
Take and drink in Jesus' name.
God is good.
All the time.
You are blessed and highly favored of the Lord. God has enlarged your capacity, and there is nothing that you set your mind to do in Christ that will not be accomplished. You will break forth on every side.
Amen.
You will be greatly enlarged.
Amen.
You will succeed in life.
Amen.
Your testimony will always be great. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord.
Amen.
And may God's peace garrison your heart. May God promote you, establish you, and grant you favor in the sight of man and also in the sight of God.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, we decree it so done.
Amen.
Amen. And amen.
Amen.
God bless you. It was so wonderful to have you here today. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.